Hey y'all, today on The Onion Peel, we are going to again be discussing some difficult topics. So I want to issue this as a content warning. If the topics of suicide, death, or depression are difficult for you or uncomfortable, please listen accordingly and come back and visit us next time. Welcome to The Onion Peel, a show where we get real, raw, and honest about life. It's a space where authenticity lives and hope resides. The Onion Peel is a place where we peel back the layers of our stories and discover the unexpected flavoring that each one brings. Hey guys, I'm your host and semi-crazy Christian, Angela McConnell. I'm a middle-aged mom of five with a dead husband, and I've been through some shit in my life. Now, I'm on a mission to bring hope to the world. So join me as we journey through this onion and find hope in the tears. You ready to peel this thing? Hey guys. Thanks for joining me today on The Onion Peel. I hope you guys are enjoying the show so far, even though we're just a few episodes in. If you are, I would love it if you would just take a second and leave me a comment or write a review. That would just be super helpful as I'm really trying to spread the word of the show because I really do want to bring hope to people. Also, I'm on Facebook, Instagram, so anywhere you want to hit me up is awesome. So today, I think I'm going to share with you my Donnie. I think this is a good spot to just let you get to know him a little bit. Because after all, it is because of him that the Onion Peel is here. So he's the inspiration behind all of it. And as my youngest daughter put it so well, Mom, it's important that they know who he was in order to really know how his death affected us. The other reason I want to share him with you is because his birthday's coming up in a couple days. So I thought, what a better way to honor him than to share him with you. He's a pretty special guy, so I'm kind of excited to talk about him with you. I'd have to say that the most important thing for you to know about Don was that he was by far the most loving human being that I have ever known. He led with his heart everywhere he went. He simply loved people. He just loved people for who they were. There was never any strings attached with any relationship that he had. He simply just enjoyed human beings. He would never judge anybody. He never even had really even opinions about anybody. He just authentically would be with somebody in any moment for what that person was, and to glean whatever great tidbit of knowledge or laughter or sorrow that was in that moment with that person. And that always just filled him up. People filled his soul. Don was my person. Everybody has a person. We all have one person. Could be your mom. Could be your grandpa. Could be a sister. Could be a friend. Or in my case, it was my husband. He was my person. He was the one that just got me in a way that nobody else did. He was the one that I felt the safest around. He was the one that I knew loved me in its most pure form. See, the thing about Don and the way he loved me was that he loved me totally unconditionally. He loved even the parts of me that were ugly. I'm not saying he liked those parts, but he loved those parts because they were a part of me, and he just simply loved all of me. To be honest, Don is the one who taught me what the love of Christ looks like. He's the one that I learned what true unconditional love is, because he always made me feel perfect. Even though I clearly knew I wasn't, and I had things about me that were not very appealing, but he loved me anyway. He loved me without judgment. He loved me without strings. He didn't love me because he had to, because there was blood between us. He simply loved me because I was me. Every square inch of me. Who gets a love like that in a lifetime? I did. And because I got to be blessed with that kind of love, it's very easy for me to say that if I never find love again while I'm still breathing, I'll be okay, because Don's love is enough to last me 5 lifetimes. And there's the hope. There it is. Boom. Yes, my love isn't here now, but I will be able to be with that love again someday in eternity. But even though I'm alone, I'm not alone, because Don's love is still very much alive. It surrounds me in everything I do. The love doesn't go away just because the person goes away. The love that they gave never goes away. And that's the hope that we live in. That's the hope that we walk in. That's the hope that gets us up every morning, is that love of our person that has gone before us is still here. It surrounds us in everything that we do. So even though my story has this big tragedy in it, bigger than the tragedy is the love. The love is always bigger than the tragedy. The love is always bigger than the pain. Always. I loved being with Don more than I loved being with anybody else that walks this earth. Even my children. I love my children. Please don't misunderstand that. But being with Don, that was my favorite place to be. I didn't care if we were just out running errands, or we were on vacation together, or we were watching a movie together. It didn't matter. I just loved my husband's company. I loved the freedom that I could always relax in when I was with him. I loved the feeling of being protected when I was with Don. Don and I talked about everything. Well, except for, you know, the finances. Those sort of got left out of the conversation, apparently. Oh, too funny. Anyway, I knew how blessed I was with my marriage with Don. I knew the whole time. I knew what a catch he was. I knew what a kind-hearted individual he was. He was the type of husband that treated me like a queen. When the garbage was full and I tried to go grab it out of the trash bin and get it all ready to go to take outside, no way. I was not allowed to touch it, not if he was around. Now, of course, I did the trash, but if he was around and he caught me taking care of the trash, oh, no, no, no. He would walk right up to me and say, "Get out of there. You don't need to be doing that." Same thing with cleaning toilets. If Donnie was around, I did not clean a toilet. And we had a lot of toilets in our house. 5 to be exact. But I never cleaned them when he was around. Did I clean them? Yes, I did. But if he was there and he saw me doing it, "Get out of there. You don't need to be getting your pretty hands dirty. Get out of there. Let me do that." And I'd always say, "It's fine. It's no big deal. Take me 2 seconds. No, get out of there. Go, let me do it." He was a man that did laundry. He was a man that did all the grocery shopping. For all the months that I was nursing, our babies were with me the entire time. But after that phase, when it's time for them to be in their crib and do all that, as they got a little older, Don was the one who got up in the middle of the night. I would sometimes, obviously, but if he caught me getting up to go tend to the crying baby, Don would be like, just stay here, you sleep, I'll go get him. He knew that sleep was a commodity, and he was always thinking about me, always. He was always thinking about the kids, always. He was always last on the list. I mean, clearly, you can tell that my husband's classic codependent, but it was more than that. It was pure kindness. That's just how he was in this world, pure kindness. Don was the type of man that adored his wife. Every single night, and I am not exaggerating when I tell you this, every single night, I got either a back rub or a foot rub for 17 years. He was the kind of husband that I would come downstairs as he's waiting for me, the babysitter's there, we're getting ready to go out. And as I would start down the stairs, he would catch me out of the corner of his eye and look at me and just go, hubba hubba, honey, you look amazing. Then on top of that, we'd get to the event and he'd whisper in my ear and say, whew, I look over at you and I get butterflies in my stomach. And that wasn't just when we were first married. That was after all the kids, all of it. He was that guy that just was so proud of his wife and kids. I remember he had a t-shirt. It was a black t-shirt. And it just, in very small lowercase letters in white, simply said, I love my wife. That's it. I love my wife. I don't know. Maybe you've seen those t-shirts. And he'd wear that thing around to the mall or wherever, just as proud as could be. And I thought, man, what an awesome guy that would wear that around. And what a great example to show your sons that you love their mom. That as a man, you want to tell the world how much you love your wife. He was the kind of dad that took his boys hunting every hunting season. They didn't miss one from the time they were little, all through youth hunt. It was a very special time with their dad. He taught them everything about hunting and his love for the woods. Loved walking on a snowy day with the crackling of the snowy branches underneath his feet. Sports was also one of his loves. And then you combine that with his sons doing sports. Huh. He was over the moon about it. He coached every single football game, every single baseball game from the time those boys first step foot on any kind of field. He was always their coach. He loved being a dad. When the girls were young, they had very long hair, like down to their butt, easy. And he was always so patient after they'd get out of the bathtub and their hair had to be brushed. They couldn't do it yet. And he would just take his time and get all the tangles out of their hair. He was that dad that learned how to do a ponytail, and he tried his best at braids. They sucked every time, but he still gave it a whirl. Girls were never super thrilled when dad had to do their hair, but he did it. And they were styling. He was the kind of daddy to his little girls that would just lay there on the couch as they took their little plastic hairbrushes and barrettes and headbands and bows and would just do his hair. He had a pretty decent flow, too, so there was some hair there to work with. And the girls would just love dressing him up and putting stuff in his hair. He used to do a show every night for our youngest daughter. He'd take her stuffed animals and he'd act out a story using the stuffed animals as the main characters. When the kids were sick, oh, he was so patient all the time. Just no problem cleaning up vomit, cleaning up diarrhea. Never complained, just was happy to do it even. He was the type of guy that if I had a girlfriend over and it was cold outside, take her keys, go out, start her car, so it's nice and warm before she leaves. And speaking of cars, the entire time that I was with Don, I probably got gas in my car maybe 5 times. Yep, never put gas in my car. My car was just always fueled and ready to rock and roll. Man, was that sweet or what? Especially when you live in a cold weather climate. He simply had a servant's heart. Serving is what he loved to do. You needed a project done at your house? My husband was there. He was one of the leaders in the outreach ministries of our church. He was part of Bible studies. And speaking of church, another fun fact about Don was that that man didn't know how to keep a beat. So there we all are, clapping in church, singing along, and Don was offbeat every single time. I know God didn't care, but man, I did. Don was the kind of guy that other guys loved to have a bromance with. You know, he was just that dude. Because he was so warm and approachable, he just had a lot of friends. A lot of guys loved and felt safe talking to Don because they knew that there was never any judgment there from him ever. You just knew that when Don was in a conversation with you, he was fully in and he sincerely wanted to know what you had to say. Don was always fully in. He was fully in as a husband. He was fully in as a dad. He was fully in as a friend. He was always fully in because he valued how he loved people. He valued how he loved his family. His family meant everything to him, which was why, when things got bad, that he ended up taking his own life. I don't know when the first bad decision came, the first choice to step out and risk something and not have it turn out the way that he was hoping. But I know that it was actually years before he actually decided to take his own life. There was never a time that he was going to tell me that things weren't good because he loved me too much for that. Because he would never want to put any kind of burden on me. He would have never said, "Honey, I screwed up. I need some help. Honey, I'm so sorry. I don't know what to do, but I made this bad decision over here. I'm so sorry. Can you help me figure this out?" Because of the fact that he was somebody who adored his family so much, the second that he did anything to screw that up was really when it was actually over. Once he made that first decision many years ago, that was pretty much it for him. The wheels of fate began to turn, and we were going to end up where we ended up, regardless. Since Don placed his value of who he was as a person in how he loved as a person, especially how he loved his family, once he made that choice to cross that line into bad judgment, he automatically began to devalue himself. And when we begin to devalue ourselves, then we end up losing ourselves and we don't know who we are anymore. And when we don't know who we are anymore, well, then the show's just over, isn't it? Because there's no purpose in living. There's no purpose in existing. Because now we've disappeared. Without value, we can't find purpose. And when we can't find purpose, there's just no point. That's how the flesh feels. That's how our soul feels inside. Now, that's not truth. And it's certainly not God's truth. But when it becomes your truth, then it becomes your reality. The actual truth of reality is that you were created for a very specific reason on this earth. Every single one of us was. No mistakes. You're here for a reason. You're here for a purpose. A wonderful, amazing, beautiful purpose. And maybe you haven't found that purpose yet, but I promise you it's there. Sometimes, you know, we go down a couple side streets before we actually make it to the highway. That's just how it rolls. But it's okay. Just keep putting one step forward in front of the other, and you will eventually reach your destiny. It's there waiting for you. And I think the thing that frustrates me the most is that my husband knew what God said about him. He knew he had purpose. He knew to take his value from the Creator. But he lost his way. Sometimes we just lose our way. I think because Don was always so optimistic, I think he just figured that he was going to find a way to stop this snowball from getting out of hand. That the next decision he made financially was going to be the one that was going to help right the ship. But that never happened. Then the next day would come and he would feel renewed and optimistic and think, you know what, today I'm going to do this and this is going to help me get things back on track. But that wasn't the case either. The snowball just kept rolling and rolling and growing and becoming bigger. And then the decisions he made became more and more risky because he became more and more desperate because there was no way he could let his family down. There was no way that he could possibly look himself in the mirror as a man and say, look what I've done to my wife and kids. When it finally got to the place where the snowball was just too big, where it had gotten so large that he couldn't even walk around it anymore, where that sucker was getting ready to crash into the side of the building, where he was forced to look at himself when he could no longer find an optimistic view of the situation. He had no choice. He had to let the snowball crush him. So there I sat, dead husband. There the kids sat, dead dad. We were a family destroyed by a snowball. I wish that Don would have come to me. Of course, I wish that he would have shared his mistakes and his mess ups. But he couldn't. His pride got in the way. Then he began to beat himself up. What kind of a man does this to their family? What kind of a man lets their house go back to the bank and doesn't tell their wife and is now going to have their kids forced to be kicked out on the streets? Can you even imagine how horrible he had to have felt about himself? His value came from how well he took care of his family. So when the day came that there was no more hope of saving our financial stability, that was the day that he took his life. That day was the day that the bank repossessor came to escort us out of our home. That was the stop point. He woke up on June 24th, 2013, and although it was a beautiful summer morning, a huge snowstorm came with a giant snowball that crashed into the day. But here's the thing about my husband that's really important that you know. Even in that desperate, hopeless, dark morning, when he knew this was it, he knew when he was walking out to his truck, as he tickled the girls who were watching cartoons on the couch, on his way out the door, he was going to love us one last moment. And that moment was through taking his own life. You see, Don knew that because I didn't know anything about the house being taken over by the bank, that it had been sold at auction, that there could possibly be, I don't want to say a loophole, but a chance that I might be able to buy some time. Because I was unaware, as someone whose name was on the house, that maybe that could be my argument. And I know that by some things that were left in his office that we found, like paperwork, that alluded to that fact. It was one last ditch effort that if he chose to take his life, right then, right there, that things might stall, that there might be some small hope that I could maybe have a way to get the house back. It was a very minuscule chance, but it was a little hope bubble. It was his last hope bubble. But he knew the only way that that hope bubble could possibly grow is by ending his life, doing something dramatic in the moment that would stop the presses, that would bring everything to the forefront. I'm going to tell you something about my husband. Even the way that he chose to take his own life was an act of love on his part. He knew how important it would have been deep down someplace for us to be able to have an open casket, for us to be able to say goodbye. And even in the way he chose to take his last breath was in honor of us, his family. So yes, Don made some big mistakes. But who cares? Because he loved so big. He loved so big. I'm sorry that my story of my marriage had to walk what it walked. I hate to have to see what my children have had to go through. But I can stand here almost 7 years later and tell you I'd do it all over again. Because I would have never missed my love affair with Don McConnell. Not in a million years. He was and always will be a gift to me and the kids. And even though we didn't get to have him for as long as we wanted, the bottom line is we still got to have him. And I thank God every day for that gift.
So there you go, guys. I got to share a little bit of my Donnie with you. And his birthday happens to be this week, January 28th, which for our family is Pi Day. We celebrate and honor Don on his birthday by having a slice of pie. Because the one thing I didn't tell you about Don was that man loved himself some pie. So whenever pie was around, Don was gone. See you later. Bye-bye. It always brought such joy to him. He truly loved his pie. So if you're out and about this week and you feel like something sweet, you know what? Have yourself a piece of pie in honor of Don. He would love it. And hey, check out my blog at theonionpeel.com. I just posted a letter that I wrote about my husband shortly after he passed away. It's worth the read. So with that, I think it's time to put this onion back in the bin until we talk again. I hope you guys have an awesome day.